So I'm starting a new series today. I'm calling it Heart of Gold. And it's not the Neil Young song. Don't get that. It's like, now I just put it in your minds. And by the way, it's a really easy jingle on the harmonica to play. Anyway, so I was tempted, but I said, no, don't do it. So for several weeks, we are going to be looking at the scriptures that refer to gold some way or another, that are related to gold. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of passages talking about different aspects of God and the kingdom of God and how it's either better than gold, more precious than gold, refined like gold, different things. And I just felt like I wanted to go there. It just was a fun. I felt like God said, yeah, let's go there. So gold is a one-of-a-kind metal that's been considered to be the king of metals since ancient times. We know that gold is unique in that it's the only metal that's yellow or golden in its pure form. There's other metals that get yellowish, but gold is the only one that's that color. Gold is extremely ductile, in other words, malleable. It can be 1 ounce of gold can be drawn into 5 miles of thread, one single 5 mile piece of thread, 1 ounce. Or 1 ounce can be hammered into a sheet so thin, it can be into a sheet that's 300 square feet. That's like 15 by 20 foot single blanket of gold by 1 ounce. And it can be hammered so transparent that you can see through it, you can read a newspaper through it, as a solid piece of gold, which is what the astronauts, their helmet visors, they have a gold coating that protects them from solar radiation. So they can look right through it. That's what they're looking through is gold. Gold won't corrode from air, moisture, or acids. It's one of the few metals that don't do that. That's why it can be underwater, under salt water for hundreds of years and still be in its original form as treasure. It's why it's used for a lot more than currency and jewelry, like dentistry. That's why gold teeth are, because they don't corrode, they don't decay. And then also electronics and a lot of other things. But and now, according to the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, we are told nearly all of the gold on Earth isn't from Earth. It says it came from meteorites that pummeled the Earth at over time, long ago. Apparently it came from above, one way or another. I don't know if that's true, but there's a lot of different sources in the scientific world that say that. I didn't find it on just one little website thing. But then pure gold is 24 karat. It's measured as 24 karat. That's 12 tribes of Israel with 12 apostles, and it makes 24 karat. This is deep stuff. Somebody writing this down, just it's like, wow. So there's a lot of topics on gold that we will get into, faith, our works, God's wisdom, and so on. I failed to mention one other thing related to the women leaving, that we don't need to pray for the men. You know, we pray for the women. You don't need to pray for the men. We're not a bunch of pansies. We're 740 men. Okay? We know how to cook a meal. We know how to change diapers. We know how to, you know, do things without our wives there. Okay? I'm eradicating that men are idiots. Okay, we're not. And my wife said I could say that. We're not. And so, because we had the monthly 740 men's breakfast. We are 740 men. We know how to rumble, not grumble. Right? We're not. We're made of tough, not fluff. Okay. And we give a knife away every time. And this one time, we had the person who faithfully has to leave early for work at 8:30 and wasn't around to receive his knife. And I would like to say, is Kenny Deckenecker in the room here? There you go. Kenny, come on up, because your name was drawn for the knife. He's graciously reminds me every time he comes that if he has to work on Saturday, he's wearing his tie, and he goes, just so you know, I have to leave early. It's not because of your message that I'm... So there you go. Congratulations. So I appreciate that heads up. And then just to say, next month, so May, there will not be 7:40 men's breakfast. It's kind of going every other month through the rest of the year because we have our overseers are going to be coming. Rod and Mary Aguilar will be here not the last Saturday of May, but the very next Saturday into June. So June 5th, he'll be here, and we're going to have an all-church men, women, children breakfast. So we didn't want to do two back-to-back. So just there won't be a knife given away in May or June. We'll go. So just watch the bulletin if you want to learn more and keep up. So, there you go. So we're talking about gold, and I want to read, so of all the subjects, there's a lot of them. Today, we're going to look at how God's Word is more precious than gold. And I want to read, and I probably need my Bible. Can I grab my Bible? You need your Bibles. Bring your swords. We're going to look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Starting in verse 7 to 11. Just talking about gold, how God's Word. All right, so it says, you can follow along. It says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Everyone say, joy to the heart.
Joy to the heart.
Good. Where am I? Oh, man. Joy to the heart. Verse 8, thank you. God. The commands of the Lord. This is a team effort. I appreciate that. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Amen. It's good stuff. Let's just pray. Father, just commit this time to you and just pray that you would open our eyes and speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you that you love us. You love us enough as is, as we are, but you love us enough to change us and conform us to your image. Lord, we just pray you'd bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you could go back to verse 7. Look at these, the law of the Lord, the statutes, the precepts, the commands. And it goes on into the next verses. But those are all saying God's Word, the Word of God. It's different forms of saying, different aspects, different facets of God's Word. And then it talks about it's perfect, reviving the soul, making wise the simple. Any simple in the room here? I know I'm simple. Making wise the simple, giving joy to the heart, and in light to the eyes. It's radiant. The Word of God is radiant. It illuminates, and that those are really good words, and that says sweeter than honey from the comb, talking about the purest form of honey is right from the comb, unprocessed, unmanipulated by humans, just God's sweetness. It's better than that. And gold, it says much pure gold, not refined, not changed, not altered, just God's pure gold. God's Word is better than that. And I want to look at point one. God's Word is more like a vacation than overtime. Okay? We think of it as like, man, oh, it's God's Word. I got to do this. It's going to be bad. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be miserable. These are vacation words. radiant, revives the soul. When you go on vacation, you get revived, hopefully. You get refreshed. You get invigorated. You get joyful. You get refilled with joy. But yet the Bible typically gets an automatic thumbs down as a bummer of a book, right? And I think it gets that thumbs down automatically by people who don't read it and don't know it, right? And it's like a small child being offered unfamiliar food to eat. Try it, you're going to like it. I don't like it. Have you ever had it? No, and I won't like it. Have you ever read the Bible? No, it's stupid. I won't like it. I mean, that's where I was. I picked up that idea. I never saw a Bible growing up. Went to church every weekend, every Sunday. Went to church throughout my childhood. Never saw a Bible in my home. Never talked about the Bible. Never had anyone instruct me about what's in the Bible. I just knew, you know, like every good teenager, I already had all knowledge. Somehow through my pillow, osmosis, I don't know how I got it. I just knew that it was all full of bad do's and don'ts, right? And I was certain they were a bunch of bad do's and don'ts, and a lot more don'ts than do's, and the do's might as well be don'ts because I assumed I wouldn't want to do the do's because they'd be no fun, right? But reviving the soul, making, you know, joy to the heart, it's like I had no idea that kind of stuff was in there. Sweeter than honey? How is it that we assume it's miserable? Instructions from a killjoy God who doesn't want us to have any fun and wants us to be miserable enough till we get into heaven. It's like, I've never heard a kid say to his mom, "Mom, I don't want any more candy. No more, Mom, that's enough. No more of this sweeter than honey, you know. No more of this joy to the heart. I can only stand so much joy to the heart." Or a guy say, "Man, that's enough joy for me. I gotta quit. I gotta quit right there." Moderation, you know. It's like this reviving the soul. So, moderation. Like, hold on now. So remember, gold is a good, valuable, wonderful, treasured thing. It's a desirable thing for a lot of reasons. And the psalmist King David, who had a lot of it, right? He had a lot of, this is the author of this psalm, King David, who had storehouses of gold. He had a lot of it, and he said, God's word is better. God's word is more precious, more valuable. God's word is sweeter than the sweetest honey, the sweetest things of this world. And it's more delightful, it's a greater source of joy, a greater source for reviving that deep places of the soul, more so than whatever gold could produce. And why would he say that? Because gold's benefits are superficial and they're very temporary. They're surface deep and they're short-lived. Like, unlike God's word, his precepts, his go to those deep places. His words refreshes those deep, below-the-surface places, and it goes on into eternity. It's forever. There's no losing it. There's no decay. It doesn't corrode. It'll remain. And both are important, that it goes deep and it has lasting power. Because of the second point I want to make, God's word warns me of trouble. The first part of verse 11 says, "By them, by God's laws, by his precepts, by his ordinances, is your servant warned." Everyone say warned. Everyone say Zahar. Zahar. Now say Zahar. Zahar. That's the Hebrew word for warn. And now wipe the spit off the person in front of you. Zahar. It's a Hebrew word for warn. It means to admonish, to teach, but also there's a definition in there. It means to shine. So to warn is to shine like a traffic light, like a red light at an intersection shines so you know to stop. Yep. Stop. Aw, you're no fun. No fun. Bible's always telling me no, always telling me stop. In the book of Ezekiel, I'm not going to have it up here, but God's talking about the responsibility of the watchman on the wall. And he's speaking to literal shepherds, literal people, watchmen on the literal wall of Jerusalem, of Israel, a different idea of literal and spiritual. He's talking about the literal idea and the spiritual idea, how a watchman on the wall is there to warn their people of enemies coming. And if they don't warn the people of the enemy coming, they see an enemy coming, don't warn them. Well, God says, he says, God is telling the watchman, if I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and this is from Ezekiel chapter 3, it says, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life. If you don't speak out and warn him of his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. If you see the enemy come, if you see wickedness in their life, you don't say something, and they die in that sin, I'm holding you responsible. In order to save his life. And that's what always goes with God's warning. God's warnings are always out of love, out of care, out of concern, to protect you. That red light is there to save your life. Right? Those guardrails are there to save your life. Those aren't there to restrict you, to stop you, to keep you from having fun. How many times have we seen someone blow through a red light and we just kind of like, whoa, you just kind of gasp a little like, wow, that could have been really bad. That could have been really bad. They just, semis that couldn't stop fast enough and the light's clearly red, which you know, or your light's green, which you know that was red for a while before they went right through it. And that's, God's warning are showing his mercy. Yeah. And it's not judgmental to warn someone in sin. And God says to warn someone in the right way, with the right heart, with humility, with mercy, in love. Not with condemnation, not with a critical spirit, not because you're better than them. It's like you warn them because you care. And it's taking a big risk to speak up to a friend who you see heading a direction that is potentially going to bring trouble. It's a big risk to speak up. And in this cut off the relationship age we live in, there's a lot of relationships being cut off. Tell me how to live. You don't tell me what to do with anything. It's warning is in love. I was a teenager. I was driving in the winter evening. It was dark. There was a heavy snow coming down. It was on a two-lane road, 45 mile an hour speed limit in a residential kind of outskirts of town, but there was all kinds of driveways and mailboxes, posts along the way, and ditches, pretty good sized ditches, and then trees and yards, and I'm driving, of course, way too fast for conditions as a teenager, and I'm taking my little sister and her friend to the mall. So we're going at night, it's like, sure, I'll take you, and driving along, I see a squad car with his lights going on the left side, facing me, parked on the left lane. It's like, oh, he's no problem. Normally I should have slowed down a little bit for the police cars. It's a two-lane road. But I'm still going 45 with heavy snowfall and icy, slick roads. And as I get closer, I thought, like, what is that? Oh, that's a black car right in front of me, sideways, perpendicular, in my lane. And the police car's not on the shoulder. The police car's right in, blocking the whole oncoming lane. And so there's this car here and the police car back a ways. And I try to hit the brakes, and I'm sliding, and I was doing 45, and I'm sliding, and I'm pumping the brakes, and the front end of the black car is in the ditch, and his back end's blocking my lane. The police car is parked, blocking the left lane. I got nowhere to go. I'm going to hit something, and I'm pumping and pumping, and I knew I didn't want to go into the front end of this black car, so I just started going to the left, pumping, pumping, get a little bit. I just barely cleared that car, and I just barely cleared the police car bumper, and I flew into the ditch at about 25, 30 miles an hour. Between a mailbox post, a power pole, and I stopped just a few feet short of a huge tree. And there was thankfully so much snow in the ditch that it just slowed, it stopped me. All that snow in the ditch just stopped me before smacking in. And I was, and I've probably told the story before, but I was so grateful. I'm like, yes, I didn't destroy my dad's car. My sister was berserk. She was just hyperventilating. And I got out of the car, and the cop was cussing me out for being a reckless driver. And I'm like, you know, a couple of flares would have been nice, you know, and I didn't say that. He didn't seem to be in a very talkative mood, you know, and I didn't say anything. I was just wondering what I got to do now, but I just missed everything and didn't destroy anything. And at that time, a warning of a couple of flares in front of this black car would have been very helpful. I would have seen that, and I would have slowed down that my lane is blocked. Warnings are a good thing. Warnings are a merciful thing. Warnings are a gracious thing to avoid, to keep us from harm and trouble and pain and sorrow and misery. Those are a good thing. That's why they're more precious. God's word is more precious than gold. A big bank account wouldn't have helped me at all at that time. Sweeter than honey. Remember I said the Hebrew word for warn also means shine. It means shine. The word zahar is used in the book of Daniel. In a passage here, Daniel 12:3, might know this, as those who are wise will zahar. Those who are wise will zahar, will shine. The same word for warn. Seems a little odd, right? Why is shine in this setting? Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. What do you mean, lead many to righteousness? What that means is they led them out of darkness, out of wickedness. They warned them. And God sees the wise as those who warn the wicked and help lead them out of darkness and into the light, out of wickedness into righteousness. And God calls them wise. Wise, and they'll shine like the stars forever and ever. Warning is a good thing. Why do you, or what do you, what do they call it when your boss cans you? You get what? Fired. How did that word ever come about to be signifying the end of your job? Fired. What is that? Where'd that come from? What's the history? What do they call a line of guys with rifles set up to execute a criminal? They call it the shooting squad? The firing squad. Ready, aim, shoot. Right? No. Ready, aim, fire. What is the lake made of that God reserved for the devil and those who reject Christ? The lake of fire. The lake of fire. You know, firing squad, you're fired. It's the lake of fire. God gets a bad rap for telling people about the lake of fire, even bringing it up. But the fact is, God is letting people know about the lake of fire. He is letting us know. He lets us know because he says, I don't want you going there. This is what's there. This is the destiny of all those. And it's not meant for people. It's meant for the devil and those who reject Christ. Those who reject the only way into the kingdom of God. And it's his mercy. Why do they put detour signs and roads? We were just driving, and we had to drive to Mankato, Elysians under construction, Highway 60. Detours made us go all the way around killjoy detours. Otherwise, we'd have driven in and had to go all the way back because we can't get through, and then go all the way around, right? Why do they put labels on appliances to warn us? This doesn't work in water. You know, there's certain ways you should use this appliance, certain ways you shouldn't use it. It's not because we don't get mad when they put an expiration date on a jug of milk, right? A warning about, I wanted to drink solid milk with a spoon. I kind of like it curdled. Killjoy Milk Company, taking away all my fun, saves me on yogurt bills. Expiration dates are a good thing. God says, don't hold unforgiveness. It'll rob you of peace. God says, don't lie. It'll destroy people's trust in you. It'll hurt your relationships when you lie. Don't sin in whatever XYZ way. You're going to reap what you sow, and you're going to reap back a lot more than what you've sown. So he says, don't do this. And not because he's a killjoy, doesn't want you to have fun. It's because he loves us. He loves you, and he knows how you're made. And the scripture warns us to save our lives. That's the heart behind it. Now, on the positive side, God gives us his word so we can reap the rewards, which is my last point. Number three, living by God's word is very rewarding. The second half of that, verse 11, says, in keeping them, in keeping God's word, and doing what God says, and living according to his ordinances, his precepts, his laws, there is great reward. Great reward. And that's why God's word is better than gold and sweeter than honey. Gold is a good thing, but it can't save you from what matters most. And not just eternal life, but it can't do a whole lot in everyday life. We need to know how to live by God's word, and we're going to see the reward for it. There's great reward. Say, great reward. Not just reward. Great reward. God puts an emphasis on what kind of reward? A great reward. For who? For those who just do what God's word says. Uh-oh. Kids getting ready for walking tacos?
Probably that milk's
yeah. That milk's, they're going to go check their expiration dates. So Psalm 119:72 in the New Living Translation says, your law is more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. And it goes on to say, you made me, you created me, now give me the sense to follow your commands. Right? To not just know it, to do it, to live it, to live in it. So, because God loves you, sometimes he says, hey, you know what? There's a black car in front of you sideways up there that you can't see. You need to stop right now. You need to knock it off. You need to stop that because you're going to, if you keep on that path, it's going to hurt you big time. And he will interrupt us and give us a conviction that says, you know what? That's not good. I need to change this direction I'm going. He will tell us, stop now because I created you. I know what's best for you. I know what's worse for you. And I have a really good future in mind for you, but you have to follow my word. You have to follow my voice. You have to follow the direction I have for you. Listen to me, and I will lead you where you should go. And it will be a blessing to you. It is for your good, and it's for God's glory that I'm telling you this. This is not good for you. Don't go there. And when we really get to know God's word and apply it, be wise and do what God says. Do what is written in the scripture. We will see that it's a lot more positive than negative. There's a lot more joy to the heart and reviving of the soul than there is killjoy. God can't have any fun. we will see that it's better than any of the sweetest things in this world and worth far more than the purest gold. And God will open our eyes like David described it, and your soul will be revived, grow in wisdom and joy. And you'll see the true worth of money, and you'll say, man, money is overrated. I want to get rid of all of mine for a walking taco, right? I'm just gonna unload this worthless stuff. Doesn't satisfy. All right, so I encourage you to be an investor. Invest in something much better than gold, than late night TV commercials. There's in things much better than gold. Read God's word every day. Read his word, get to know it. Read it sequentially. Start at Genesis, start at Matthew, and read it. Read the whole Old Testament. Read the whole New Testament. When you finish with Malachi of the Old and Revelation, or some say read from Genesis to maps, from Genesis to the maps, read the whole thing, which is the maps at the end of the Bible, and start over, because then you're going to see things the second time. I remember hearing about someone I first learned that they read the whole Bible. Wow, they read the whole Bible. Because again, I grew up not even seeing one in our house. I'd see one in my grandparents' home, and I thought, wow, how could you ever understand that? How could you ever read that? But read it from cover to cover, and read it again, cover to cover, and do what it says. And let it form you, let it shape you, let it steer you and guide you and direct you into joy of your heart, reviving of your soul, security, safety, life. Not just eternal life, but life here, right? Here and now. Here and now life. This crazy world needs wise people who know God's word and know how to lovingly help them out of darkness, help them out of wickedness, and walk in righteousness. And not according to your ideas, your opinions, or your experience, but according to God's word. According to the manufacturer's handbook, the owner's manual of humanity. It's to save our lives. Well, let's pray and go eat tacos. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that was written and preserved, and that many people's lives were lost, preserving the scripture for us and our generation to have it. I pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst to know your word and to put it into practice and grow in wisdom and grow refreshed beyond our cultural norms, beyond our experience of our parents or grandparents or our friends or whatever, Lord, to know that your word is timeless truth that revives a soul. It's more precious than gold. It's sweeter than honey, even honey from the comb. And Lord, we do pray for your blessing on our food, on the students preparing walking tacos. Lord, just bless them. We trust you to provide. And thank you for the fellowship we can have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody.